Okay, welcome back, everyone. So we are up to Yud Ches Amud Beis 18b, but we had a little bit of trouble last time, so I just want to backstep for a second on Yud Ches Amud Aleph on 18a. So we're about basically in the middle of the page. The first word on the line is the word Nami, and let's see, it's about 26 lines down from the top. And I just wanted to reread a passage that I wasn't sure if we read it the right way last time, so I just wanted to cover our bases. And if you don't know where I am, it's not a big deal. Just listen, and then we'll pick up from Amud Beis in a second. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar, we said previously, so if you remember last time, we had this idea, this concept, that we do not have eulogies and we don't have fasting for certain periods of time. And one of the periods of time that we listed was from the 8th of Nisan until the end of Pesach. We don't have any eulogies during that time. Says the Gemara, Lamli lemeimar mitimnayabe lema mitishabe. Why do we have to say that from the 8th of Nisan until the end of Pesach? Just say from the 9th of Nisan. Why? Because v'timnaya gufe yasur, because the 8th will still be prohibited for fasting and eulogizing anyways. Why? Because the havale yoma de'itkum beit mida. Because if you remember, the day 8 was an overlapping day between the first grouping of days of Nisan and the second grouping of the days of Nisan, because we had one category of 1 through 8 and we have another category of 8 through the end of Pesach. So just forget about saying 8 through the end of Pesach, say 9 through the end of Pesach, because we have already the day 8 covered from the first days. Says the Gemara, no. Kivan de ilu mikla milsa ubatline l'shiva. There might be something that happens, some terrible occurrence that happens, that will cause Chazal to nullify the holidays of those days, and therefore to enact or rather to say that there is no longer a prohibition of eulogizing and fasting on these days. And so says the Gemara, so that can happen for the first 7 days, but we really want to make sure to preserve the sanctity of day 8, to preserve the fact that there are no eulogies on that day, and therefore Timnaya Gufe Asar, the 8th day will still be able to remain a day where no eulogizing or no fast can happen, even if the first 7 days become nullified. Why? Because the Havale Yoma Kamadi Tosav Be Chaga Deshuaya, because it'll be in that second category, and even though it won't be in the 1 through 8 category anymore, it'll still be in the 8 through the end of Pesach category, and therefore that's why we kept it, because there was this concern that it might be, the first few days might be nullified, so we want to cover all of our bases to make sure that 8 stays as one of those days where we can't eulogize and we cannot fast. Okay, so that's just what I wanted to make sure we got right from last time, but let's now go to Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are up to 2, 4, 6, about 7 lines up, 7 lines down from where the lines begin to get very wide. So if you remember last time, we had this situation in which we were trying to explain this interesting idea of what days I would be able to maybe read Megillah, if I remember correctly, if we could read Megillah, but at the same time, one is allowed to eulogize and fast on those days. And we said it must be the situation in which Purim is not going to be falling on the day in which we're reading the Megillah, because we have a concept that the Megillah is allowed to be read earlier than the actual day of Purim. And we did that based on if we'd be able to, people going into the main cities or not, etc. And we mentioned that there were two holidays, one on the 13th and one on the 12th. There was the holiday of Yom Nikanor, and there was the holiday of Yom Trinus. And we left off last time by trying to understand what are these holidays of Yom Nikanor and Yom Trinus. So let's pick up from there again, about 7 lines down from where the lines begin to get very wide. My Nikanor umay Turyanus. What are these holidays of Nikanor and Turyanus that we said that were established as holidays that we don't fast and eulogize on those days? Tetanya was taught in a braisa, Nikanor echad me'afarcha yevanam haya. So Nikanor was one of the Greek governors of the time. Uvechol yom b'yom, and every single day haya meiniv yado al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Every day he would wave his hand against Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Ve'omer, and he would say, Eima taiti pol b'yadi v'armasna. He said, when will they fall into my hand and I will be able to trample them? That's what he dreamed of. However, when the kingdom of the Chashmonaim, when they were able to rise up against the Greeks, and they were victorious, and they destroyed them, Katsitsu Bahonos Yadav Raglab. What did they do? They cut off Nikanor's thumbs and his big toes. Vitalum Beshari Yerushalayim, and they hung them in the gates of Yerushalayim. Okay. Be Amru, and they said, They said that the mouth that spoke with haughtiness, the mouth that spoke with haughtiness, and the hands that waved against Yerushalayim, they are avenged. Meaning, through this action of them cutting off his thumbs and his big toes, they showed that they properly avenged him. And anyways, all of that happened on the day of Yom Nikunr. So Yom Nikunr was the day in which they finally got all this revenge against this guy, and they cut off everything. You ask just very quickly a technical note. It says Pesha Yamidaber Begaiva, that they were attacking this mouth of his that spoke with haughtiness. Well, they didn't do anything to the mouth, it seems. They'd only cut off his toes and his thumbs. So the Mepharshim seemed to explain that no, they cut off the toes, the thumbs, and they also cut off his head to make sure that his mouth was taken care of as well. Then that's not written there, but that's how we understand it. Okay. My Tor Yanos. What in the world is Tor Yanos Day that we were speaking about? Amru, they said, Kishabikish Torianos Arog es Lulinus Upapos Achiv Bilutkia. So when this individual named Torianos wanted to kill Lulinus and Papos, who is his brother in Lod, Amar Lahem, he said to them, Im Meimo Shachananya Mishal the Azariah, if you truthfully are from the nation of Chananya, Mishal and Azariah, Atem Yavoelok Atem, Yavelokichem, Vyatsilaschem miadi, Kederakshe Silas Chananya, Mishal the Azariah, Miyad Nebuchadnezzar. So he said basically, if you guys really are from the same nation of Chananya, Mishal and Azariah, meaning if you're from the Jewish nation, then what should happen? Your God should come and save you from my hands in the same way that he saved Chananya, Mishal and Azariah from the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Amrullah, they said back to him, no, listen. Chananya, Mishal, and Azariah, tzaddikim gemurin hayu. They were very righteous people. Ure'uyin hayu le'asos lehem nes. And they were worthy of having a miracle done on their behalf. V'Nebuchadnezzar, not the nicest guy in the world, however, melech hagun haya. V'ray le'asos nes al yado. He was a proper king, and it was fitting for him to have a miracle done by his hand. V'oso Russia hedyotu. But this Russia, meaning them speaking to this individual, Taryanus, they said, you are a common Russia. You are a nobody. And it's not fitting for a miracle to be done on your behalf or through your behalf. And they said to him, and we are not righteous, but are in fact really liable to destruction for sinning to Hashem. And if you don't kill us, a very scary idea. They say God has a lot of murderers under his belt. He knows a lot of people that can kill us if you don't kill us. And they said there are a lot of bears and a lot of lions for Hashem in this world. Shepogin banu v'horgin otanu, that will attack us and that will kill us. Rather, it must be that even though we're meant to die, God wants to kill us, God's going to kill us. However, since we're meant to die, God always has a plan, even in these really unbelievable times. So it says, they said to him, God gave us over to you in your hands, because in the future, God will avenge our blood through your hands. Afal Pike, nonetheless, this is what this very scary words that were said to him. Hargan Miyad, he said, okay, stop talking, and he killed them right away. Amru, they said, Lo Zazu Misham, that no one moved from the place, Ad Shabo Dipoli Merome. Two Roman officers then came, Upatsu Es Mocho Begizrin. And all of a sudden, they split open his head with clubs. This guy, Torianus, was not the best guy in the world. He killed these individuals, and they were essentially promised that their blood would be avenged someday. Who knew it would be the same day, and who knew it would be 10 seconds later, because after he killed them, he was killed because of a Roman edict to kill him. Okay, so anyways, so the day that he died, that was the day of Taryonos, and as a result, that's why there was a little holiday that was established on that day. So those are the days of Nikanor and Taryonos. Okay, a little bit further in the Gemara, and then we'll finish up the second parak here. Ein gozrin tainas alat tzibar betchila bechamishi. We said, if you remember in the Mishnah, that we don't decree a fast for the congregation starting on a Thursday, because that could mess up the market prices, and we don't decree a fast on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, etc. V'kama havya hatchala, how long do we say something has to be a hatchala? How long does the fast need to be going on for us to say that we are, that it already started and therefore we're allowed to fast on a Chanukah or a Purim or something like that? Rav Acha Amar Shalosh, we need to have three fasts prior. If we have three fasts prior, then if the next fast falls on Chanukah, you're allowed to fast that fast. Rav Asi Amar Achas, no, only one. If you have one fast that came prior, then the next fast that comes, if it's on Chanukah or Purim, whatever, you're allowed to fast on that day. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Zu, Devei Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir says Shamar Misham Rabban Gamliel. This is Rabbi Meir saying the name of Rabban Gamliel. Aba Chachamim Amar, but the Chachamim say Mitane Umashlim. If you remember correctly, there was this idea that they're supposed to fast on that day, but even on, you know, if Chanukah, Purim, whatever, overlap, they're supposed to fast on the day, but they never complete the fast. But that was the opinion of Rabbi Meir B'Shem Rabban Gamliel. But the Chachamim say, no, if your fast, that you're allowed to now fast on Chanukah, Purim, or whatever, if it fell on that day, then not only do you fast, but you also fast and Misane Umashim, you complete the fast. That's the Chachamim say. Darash Marzutra Mishmei Derav Huna Halacha Misane Umashim. So Marzutra expounded in the name of Rav Huna, and he said that the Halacha follows the opinion of the Chachamim that one is to fast and one is to be mashlim their fast if the fast ends up landing on Chanukah or something like that. Hadran Alach Seder Tanios Kitzad. We have now finished the second perek, and now we are on to the third perek of Maseches Tainus. Okay, bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis. Seder Tanios Elu. These fasts that we have been speaking about in the first and in the first and second prakim. These fasts that are the 3, 3, and 7 fasts that we have for rain. Says the Mishnah, Ha'amor b'raviyah rishona, they were said on the first rain, meaning if the first rain delayed in coming, then we enacted the 3, 3, and 7 fasts. Avot smechim, but now we're going to learn about fasts for other calamities. Avot smechim, sheshano masrin alein miyad. If the crops like change, if they grow abnormally, if something is wrong with them, then we cry out immediately, meaning we have like one fast and we start crying out, and essentially what the takeaway of the Mishnah is that we don't have this, like, you know, have a one series of three that's kind of minor fast, another series of three a little bit more major, and then finally the final seven in which are, you know, full blown crying out to Hashem. Says the Mishnah, we don't do that with other things. Rather, once something bad happens, like for example the first case is the change in crops. They grow up normally, which could be a serious issue in terms of being able to feed the people properly. Masrin alein miyad, we cry out immediately on in such a case. V'chein shepasku geshem bein geshem legeshem, and so too, if the rain stopped between the first rain and the second rain. So if you imagine, if you remember the Revios, there were the Revia rains, there were three first rains, all part of the same category. So let's say it rained in the first geshem, the first rain, and then the second rain never came. It stopped raining between the first and the second. Arba'im Yom, it stopped specifically for 40 days, so it rained in the first rains, and then 40 days later, still no rains in the second round. Masri and Alain, we cry out for that immediately, because that's not going to be good. That's going to mess up the crop growths. Pipnei Shehi Makas Pitzoros, says the Mishnah, specific language over here. What's going to happen? This is going to, because of the food shortage that will happen. The Gemara will explain what this means exactly, the food shortage that will happen as a result of this, stopping in the middle of the rains. Yardu Litzmechin, let's say now Yardu, 1 second, I just want to mute one of you, sorry. Okay. Yardu Litzmechin, aval lo Yardu Le'ilan. Le'ilan velo Litzmechin. Lezeu leze aval lo Leboros Lesichin ule Ma'aros Masrin alein miyam. Let's go through all these cases now. If the rain fell on the crops, but not on the trees, or it fell on the trees, if it fell on the trees, but not on the crops. Or it fell on the trees and the crops, but it didn't fall into the pits, or into the ditches, or into the caves, right, for the reservoir of water that they saved. In any of these cases, if it didn't fall on any of these three things, even if it fell on the other ones, Masri and Alein Miyad, we cry out immediately. V'chein ir shelo yardu aleha geshamim, and similarly, a city that no rain falls. What does this mean, that on a city no rain falls? It means that you have all the cities around you, and every city experiences rain. and your city, for whatever reason, does not experience rain. It must be something bad is going on over here, something specifically ordained by God to attack this city. And therefore, in that situation, we immediately would cry out. Dichtiv, how do you know this? V'him tarti al ir achas, because the pasuk says that I caused it to rain on one city. V'al ir achas lo amtir, and on another city I caused it to not rain. Chelka achas timatir, and in one field I caused it to rain, etc. Meaning, also now we're on the top of your testament off 19a. Excuse me. This city that experienced this situation, in which it rained in all the other cities, but not in this city by itself. So this city fasts and cries out. And all the surrounding cities, they fast, but they don't cry out. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Matriot Velomadanos, the opposite. They cry out, but they don't fast. The same is true if you have a city that experiences a plague, or it experiences some sort of falling down, meaning probably like buildings or walls are falling down because of horrible winds. So if you have a city with this, with a plague or with horrible winds that are knocking down buildings, says the Gemara that this city should fast and it should cry out, and all the surrounding cities should fast and not cry out. Rabbi Akiva Omer, the opposite, Matrios v'lo Matanos. No, you cry out, but you don't fast. Ezehu Dever, what exactly do we define as Dever? What does it mean, a plague? Ir hamutzia chamesh me'os raglei. If you have a city that is like 500 able-bodied individuals, v'yatsu mimena gimel meisim ve'gimel yamim, and three of these healthy individuals die on three consecutive days, meaning you have three consecutive days where one, two, three guys die. Ze achar ze, one after the other, hare ze dever. This is considered, some must be some plague going on, a little too close to home these days in the world of coronavirus, but that's what the Gemara says. Pachos mikan, but if we have less than that, in ze dever, it's not dever. So what does less than that mean? Well, let's say you have one person die on day one and two people die on one, another person died on day two, no one on day three. That's obviously less than. But even more than that, we consider a case of less than. And that is the case of, let's say, you have three people die on one day, and then no one dies in the next 2 days. That's also not considered a plague. That was more of, nothing's a coincidence, but the first day was more of a coincidence. We don't consider that a plague. Specifically, there's like this like pattern of one person dying a day. We assume that's a plague, and that's how we define a plague. Al elu masriyan b'chol makom. So now that we've explained all that we just explained thus far, now we're going to give a new category. These following things are things that we cry out for in every place. What are they? Al hashidafon. The first one is like shidafon, are like very strong winds, wind blasts that will ruin the grain. Val hayarkon, and yarkon is like for the yellowing, like meaning the drought is so intense that it causes the grain to become withered up and yellowed. Val arbe, and if you have locust, the arbe. Val hachasil, and another type of locust. Val hachaya ra, and when you have like these dangerous beasts that have come to town. Val hacherev, and when you have the sword. What does it mean? The sword means when you have like attacking legions that are coming to attack the city. They're surrounding the city or something like that. In all of these situations, masriyan aleha, we cry out for them anywhere where we hear about it. And the reason why is because of the concern that these things travel very quickly. If you have bad wind in the city over there, then it's probably going to come over here. If you have bad locusts over there, they're probably going to come over here as well. If you have a destructive army over there, they're probably going to come here as well too. So therefore, we cry out for all these things no matter where we are, because any of these things are basically very within reach. Because the Gemara explains explicitly, because it is a traveling ailment. It's something that can easily go from one place to another. We have a story in which the elders went down. Shayardu Zakinim Yerushalayim, that the elders of the Sanhedrin, they went down from Yerushalayim Le'arehim to their own cities. Meaning, you have all these great rabbis who sit on the Sanhedrin. They don't all live in Yerushalayim, but that's where they meet in Yerushalayim. So they all went into Yerushalayim to meet, and they all went to all of their own cities after session. Right, session was done. The Gazru Tainus, and they decreed a fast when they came back to their cities. al shenira kimlo pi tanor shidafon beashkelon. Why? What did they see? Because there appeared the size of an oven's mouth of wind blast damage on grain in Ashkelon. There was some significant wind damage that they saw, and as a result, they went back to all of their own cities and said, look at what happened in Ashkelon. This could happen in our own town as well. And therefore, everyone has to fast. They decreed a fast because of what happened in Ashkelon, because it might come to affect their own towns as well. The Ode, Gazru, Tainis al Sha'achlu Ze'ivim, Shnei Tinokus Be'ivir Hayardin. Another very interesting, sad case. And that is that maybe there was another decree made. There was another time that a decree was made. And that is, there was a decree to have a fast on a day when it was found in one town that these two wolves, or that these wolves came into town, and they ate two children in the town. Where? Which town? It was Eivir HaYarden, Transjordan. So there were wolves spotted there eating two children, and as a result, they decided to have a fast not just there, but in all the towns. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, they didn't see the wolves eating babies, eating children. That's a little disturbing. Elo al Sha'achlu, Ela al Shaniru. It's not that they saw them eating babies, it's that they just saw them in the town. Think of like rabies or something like that. There are some animals that you don't belong in the city. If you see an animal like this in the city, you immediately start fasting, because that means something weird is going on, and God forbid something terrible could happen. So everyone decided to fast immediately in all of these situations, or it was decreed that they should fast in all these situations. Okay, two dots. Al Elu Matrin B'Shabbos. So normally we don't cry out on Shabbos, but says the Mishnah that there are some things that we do cry out on Shabbos for. Al Ir She'ikufa Nachrim. When you have a city that is surrounded by non-Jews, meaning ready to attack you, Oh Nahar, or a city that's surrounded by a river that's like ready to flow and destroy the town. Ve'al ha'sfina ha'mitarefes bayam, and when you have a boat that is like tossing and turning, it's in this turbulence in the sea, it's in danger of drowning. All these three things, since they're more urgent, we are allowed to cry out for them even on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Omer la'azara v'lo latzaka. We are allowed to cry out for help, meaning we can say, we scream out the SOS signs, but we can't scream out to Hashem, because at that point, screaming out to Hashem, the thought is, I believe, that it's not going to do much in this case, and therefore, we don't do that for this. And then Shimon HaTeimani says, Af al hadever velo af al hadever, even for the dever, even for a plague, we're allowed to scream out for help for. And so again, it depends how you understand Shimon HaTeimani and the reference of Rabbi Yossi. Either it's like Rabbi Yossi, and that for a plague you can cry out for practical help for a plague, but you can't seek out spiritual help. Or is that he holds like the first opinion, that he says that even for dever, even for the plague, we are allowed to cry out for help, and that means to cry out for help to Hashem even, and not just for practical help to get a cure or something like that. The Chacham said, no, we don't believe in that. When it comes to a plague is really bad, that is not very good, but we don't believe that you can cry out for that on Shabbos. Okay, I'll call next two dots, three lines up from the wide lines. I'll call Sara Shelo Tavo Al Atzibor Masriyan Alayin. For every trial and tribulation, Shalot Tavo Al Tzibor, it's speaking in like a Lashon Naki, in like a clean language. I mean, what it means is, for every ailment that comes to the Tzibor, Masri and Alayin, we cry out for that. Chutz Me Rov Geshamim, except for a situation of Rov Geshamim. What does it mean, Rov Geshamim? It means that let's see Rashi. So Rashi says, Me Rov Geshamim. It's basically right next to it, just a little bit up. So Rov Geshamim, Lav Kigon Sheyarda Al Ir Achas, V'al ir echas lo yarda. It's not talking about a case of when it rain fell in one city and not in another city. Shesham vadesh stay in the cloud, because there clearly it's that this is a cursed situation. Kadam Rav Yehuda timatir makom matar shemekalkel tavoa ela kivar yardu v'toreachem livnei adam aval ina mekalklin tavuos. So what does it mean, rov geshamim? It means that it's so much rain that it's just a tircha. It's already rained, so all the crops are now satiated. But this is just a lot of rain. It's just overly annoying. You don't need this. But at the same time, it's also not bad enough that it will destroy the grains. It won't destroy the crops. So if you have a situation of rov geshamim, then that's one situation that you do not cry out for, because it's not enjoyable, but it's not the end of the world. Maaseh shamru lo lechoni hamagal. Now we're going to continue further. So remember, we're all still in the Mishnah here. This is all just the Mishnah. Ma'aseh sha'amru lo l'choni ha'magal. We have now the famous story of an individual named Choni ha'magal, Choni the circle maker. So ma'aseh, again, ma'aseh sha'amru lo l'choni ha'magal. There was a story they said over, there was a story about Choni ha'magal that they said to Choni ha'magal, his palel sheyardu gesham, they said, daven, so that rain should fall. Amar lahem, he said to them, tsu, go out, v'chniso tenuri pesachim, go out and bring in the ovens that you were going to use to roast your korban pesachs. Bishvil shelo yamuku, because it might dissolve. What does it mean? It might dissolve. Meaning, if you leave them out, trust me, it's going to rain now because I asked God for it to rain. And since it's going to rain, the ovens are going to get ruined. So bring them in. Meaning, he's trying to show how confident he is that now that they've asked him to make it rain, he will make it rain. His palal velo yardu gashamim. What do you know? The day came. Choni davens, the moment of truth, and no rain comes. What happens? This is how he got his name, the circle maker. Ma'asa ag uga. He drew for himself a circle. The amad betocha, and he stood in the circle. The amar lefana of Ribbono Shalom, and he says before Hashem, banecha samu pneihem alai. Your children have turned their faces towards me. Shani keben beis lefanecha, because I'm like a ben bias by you. I always talk to you a lot. They know that I have a good relationship with you, God. Nishba ani b'shimcha hagadol she'ini zaz mikan ad sheterachim al benecha. Says Choni, an unbelievable thing. Who could talk to God like this? But Choni says to God, I swear to you, Hashem, in your name, your great name, that I will not move from this place, I will not move from this circle until you are merciful on your children and bring some rain. Hischilu gishamem menatfin. So what happens? So God says, okay, Choni, whatever you say, here is a trickle of rain. It began to trickle, a little drizzle. Amar lo kach shalti. Unbelievable. Choni says back to God once it begins to trickle. Choni says, God, I did not ask for this drizzle. Ela gishmei boros sichenu maros. I asked for rain that would fill the water reservoirs, that would fill the pits and the ditches and the caves. That's the kind of water that I want right now. Not this like spitting rain. What is this? What happened? Hischilu leirid bizaaf. It began to rain with like a fury, with like it was like really, really heavy rain. Says Choni, Amar lo kach shalti. Choni says, I have not asked for this, God. Ela gishmu a gishme ratzon bracha v'nedava. He says, I'm asking for rain of goodwill, of blessing, of benevolence. Yardu kitiknan. And then what happened? All of a sudden, the rain fell down like it was a normal rain. It was not too hard, not too soft, and it was exactly what they needed. What happened? Choni asked for rain. They didn't give an end time for the rain. So ad sheyatsu Yisrael miYerushalayim laHarabayis, all of Yerushalayim had to go onto Harabayis b'mnei Hageshamim, because the people who were living in the regular plains of Yerushalayim, well, Harabayis is all the way up on top of a mountain. They needed to go up to Harabayis. Why? Because of the rain b'mnei Hageshamim, because the rain was so strong and so burdensome that they needed to be up high on a mountain for safety, or for comfort, whatever it is. Ba'u, they came. V'amrulo, and they said, Kishem, v'amrulo, Kishem she'es palaltal aleihem, she'yardu kach, his palal she'yelchu lehen. They said to Choni, just like you davened for these rains that they should fall, so too you should daven that they should leave us now, because it's too much. Amar lahem, he said to them, tzu v'ru'u, Namchis Evin Hatoin. So he said to them, go and check something. Go and check and see if the Evin Hatoin, this special stone, it was a stone, it was called the Evin Hatoin, it was literally the strayer's stone. It was the stone user that if they lost something, you would stand on the stone and make an announcement of it. So they said, go check this Evin Hatoin and make sure, and let me know if it's covered. And the implication is, if it's covered, then I'll cry out. If it's not covered, then I won't cry out to Hashem. The point is that Choni had this like incredible relationship with Hashem that he could basically call on him for any request immediately, and God would have to answer. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shatach. Shimon ben Shatach then sent to Choni. El malei Choni ata. If you weren't Choni, he said, goes Rani alecha nido. He said, I would excommunicate you. Who talks to Hashem like this? Aval ma esel chashata mischate lifnei amakom ve'osa lecha ritzoncha. But what am I supposed to do? You sin before Hashem, and God does your will. Crazy. It's like a son who sins against his father, but still his father does as well. A father who has a son who breaks the rules, even so the father is going to listen to the son because he loves the son. So that's what you are. You're like a son before Hashem, because he still does your will, even though you act chutzpahdik. Ve'alecha kasev omer, and about you, the pasuk says, yismach avicha v'imecha v'tagi al yoladetecha, that may your father and mother rejoice, and may she who bore you be glad. That it's good to have you as a son. Okay. Now, we have this interesting typo over here. It says Masnis, and it says the word Mishnah in parentheses. The reason why it seems to be that it's just a typo. So the next few lines are still technically part of the Mishnah. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say in the conclusion over here. Hayu Mis'anin v'yardu lehem geshamim. If it was raining. Sorry. Hayu Mis'anin. If they were fasting. Fasting from when? Similarly, alos hashachar. They were fasting from dawn. V'yardu lehem geshamim, and rain fell. So they were fasting because no rain was coming. But the fast was so impactful that literally began to rain minutes later. So they were fasting and rain began to fall. Kodim hanetzachama. If it fell before the sunrise, lo yashlimu. They don't have to finish the fast. Le'achar hanetzachama. But if it fell after the sunrise, yashlimu. They have to fast. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Kodim chatzos lo yashlimu. Lo yashlimu. If it fell before chatzos, not sunrise. If it fell before midday, lo yashlimu, they don't have to complete their fast. Le'achar chatzos, but if it fell after chatzos, after midday yashlimu, they do have to complete their fast. Ma'aseh shegazru tainis b'lud. Once happened that they decreed a fast in Lud. V'yardu lahem geshamim kodim chatzos, and the rain fell. Excuse me, and the rain fell before chatzos. So Amar Lehem Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon says to them, since it started raining before chatzos, tzu v'achlu v'shasu v'yasu yom tov. Go out, eat and drink, and make for yourselves a yontif. V'yatsu v'achlu v'shasu v'yasu yom tov. And they did just that. They went out and they ate and they drank and they made it a yontif. Uba'u bein harabayim. And when the afternoon came, v'karu halal hagadol. So they came into shul in the afternoon, and they v'karu halal b'hagadol, and they read the great halal, the halal hagadol, in the afternoon as a celebration of such an incredible event. Okay, so that arkan is just the Mishnah. Now we're going to spend a little bit more time now trying to go through the Gemara. So says the Gemara as follows: Seder ta'anios ha'ilu ha'amor b'revia rishona. So if you remember what the Gemara said at the way beginning, we said that these, the fasts that were specifically on the first rain. So if the first rain doesn't come, then you start these fasts of 3, 3, and 7. Says the Gemara, Uriminhi, I'll bring a contradiction to this, Revia Rishona, Vishniya Lishol. The Braisa says, if, remember again, in the Revia rains, there are three rains. So if the Revia rains, if the first rain and the second rain don't come, Lishol, then what do? You sit and you dive into Hashem that it should come, that the rain should come. But Shlishis, once the time for the third rain comes, and it still has not fallen, Lishanos, then you fast. So in other words, what the Breis is saying over here is that that you don't start fasting right away, these 3, 3, and 7, right at the very beginning if you miss the first rain. It's that it's only after the first two rains in which you dive, and now the third rain, and if it does not fall after its due date, then you start fasting. Not after the first one, after the third one. How do we make sense of this contradiction? Amar Rav Yehuda, Achikam Rav Yehuda says, no, this is what it's saying. Seder Tanios Ha'amor Ema Sai Bezman Sheyatza Revia Rishona Veshnia Veshlishis Velo Yardu Geshamim. About Yardu Geshemim Berevia Rishona. So, sorry, let's back up for a second. So Rav Yehuda says, no, this is what it's saying, that Seder Atanios that are said, Seder Atanios Ha'amor, that these fasts that we've been speaking about, the 3, 3, and 7, Emasai, when do we do them? Bizman Sheyatza Revia Rishona Vishneo Sishas, when the first three rains times pass and there's still no rain. Below Yardu Geshamim, and the rain still has fallen. About Yardu Geshamim Berevia Rishona, but if the rain fell, in its first, like during the first time, Vizaru, when they sowed, right, they planted, Velo Tsamchu, and the grains, the crops did not grow, Inami, or Tsamchu, they grew, Vichazur Vinashana, or they became abnormal, Masriyan Alayan Miyah, then we cry out for these, in these cases, immediately. Amar Rav Nachman, Davka Nishtanu. So Rav Nachman says, specifically you say you cry out immediately if they're Nishtanu, if they change, if they become abnormal. Aval Yavshu, but if they just dry out low, we don't see you cry out immediately. Says the Gemara, Pshita, what's Rav Nachman adding over here? Of course, if they dry out, you don't cry out. So says the Gemara, no, Nishtanu is not. The Mishnah taught that when they change, that is when you have to cry out. And lo tzricha da akun. So says the Gemara, no, it is necessary to point out that when it comes to the dried ones, that one is not required to, fast. Because of the situation of the following of the da'akun, in a case where the stalks grew like a little bit after the crops dried up, so you say, oh, maybe they should fast there as well. Again, the reason why you don't fast when it dries up is very simple, and that's because you can do as much as you want. You can cry out to Hashem as much as you want, but the crops are not going to be saved anymore. If they dried out, they're done. It's if they were like changed to be abnormal, then maybe God can fix them. But if they were already dried out, nothing God could do. So therefore, we are taught that one does not cry out for dried out grains, and this was taught specifically for a case in which the stalks grew after that. So you say, oh, maybe there's still some hope because the stalks grew a little bit. We say, no, there's no hope, and even in that situation, one should not cry out anymore. Oh, because that's what Rav Nachman was adding, not to cry out for the dried ones. Mahu Yotema, you might have thought to say, Akanta Milsehi, that a growth is significant, so we should therefore have a fast to try to make it continue to grow. Kamash Milan, no, we say that this growth after it dried out is not significant, and therefore we don't say that one should fast if it dries out. Okay, and now we're at the bottom last two lines of Yud Tesem and Aleph. V'chein shepasku geshamim bein geshem legeshem. You remember the Mishnah said that the rain stopped between the first rain and the second rain. My makas betzoros. Remember you said, why is it that we're so concerned about the rain stopping? Because it's going to cause a food shortage. That's the concern. So what food shortage are we talking about? Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, maka hamevil v'betzoros. No, it's not a food shortage. Okay, big deal. If the rain doesn't fall, so it's not the end of the world. But what's going to happen? It's going to lead to a food shortage. Not that it's going to happen today. No, it's not going to kill anything more today. But this messed up rain will ultimately lead to this food shortage. So this plague, this attack that the rain stopped, that's going to come to bring to a food shortage. Amar Rav Nachman, Nahara Anahara. So now the Gemara is going to explain a few different types of situations. So Rav Nachman says, Nahara Anahara, river on river. Bitsurasa. So when you have, so the Gemara is now defining different cases. Whenever you have a situation where there is a messed up crop situation where there is a drought, but you can bring crops from one place to another by river. So Nahara, Anahara, from river to river, Bitsurasa. So whenever you can bring crops to another town through the river, we consider that a food shortage and not a famine. That's the difference. Let's see Rashi, the final Rashi on Yud Tesemet Aleph before we turn the page. Nahara Anahara Betzurasa. B'she'in Tevua Be'irachas. When there's no grain in one city, V'yesh Ba'iros Achiros, and there is grain in another city, V'eshar Lehivi Mizeleze, and you can bring easily from one city to another, Zerach Nahar B'sfina. You just go in a boat and bring them on the river. So that's one kind of food shortage or food situation. When you have the ability to say that you're short in your city, but you can bring from one city to the next, by river, that's called the tsurasa, that's called the food shortage. Medinasa, however, if it's a regional issue, that means, what's a regional issue? Says the Rashi, the second Rashi on Yud Tes Amud Beis, Medinasa Amedinasa, the top, middle of the top line of Rashi, v'tsrichem aholich mimedina lemedina al yidei chamarim, that you have to specifically walk from one country to the next, riding on a donkey. So this is a mess already. You don't have grain in your town. You're going to go to the next town, and in the next town, or the next country, or next region, whatever it is, you can only get it by going on a donkey and coming back on a donkey. That's already kafna. That's already considered a famine, because that's ridiculous. So Rabbi Chanina says that one seah of wheat that goes for a sela, v'shricha b'tzurasa, and it's still v'shricha, and nonetheless, wheat is still common, b'tzurasa, that's going to be considered a food shortage, meaning if you have very expensive wheat, but it's common, it's easy to find the wheat, then it's just considered a food shortage. But arba'a v'lo shchicha, if you can buy four seahs of wheat for one sela, but still wheat is not easy to come by, it's not common, kafna, that's considered a famine. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shano ele bezman sha ma'os bezul o peris biyoker. So this is Rabbi Yochanan, no. This idea was only taught in a time when money is cheap, meaning everyone had money, and the fruits were expensive. So if everyone has money, and the fruits are expensive, big deal. So then it's not such a big deal to spend money on these expensive fruits. Aval ma'os biokar. But when money is expensive, meaning no one has money, upiris bezol, and even if fruit are cheap, let alone if fruit are expensive, but even if fruit are cheap, masrin alamiyad, we still cry out on this because of the fact that that's horrible. People need to have money, and if you don't have money, then it's going to be a bad situation. So we cry out to Hashem to bring people money. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, I guess to make the crops free or cheap, very, very cheap, something like that. Damar Rabbi Yochanan says, Nehirna kad habu kaime dalet sa'in besela. He says, I remember when 4 seas of wheat cost 1 sela. V'havu nefiche nefiche kafan betveria midaleis isar. And he says, yet there were people who had stomachs that were swollen from hunger in Tveria since there was no money. So he says, I remember when wheat was cheap, but even if it's cheap, that doesn't really help you if people are destitute and don't have any money to spend. Okay. 2 dots. We are up to the next part, about 6-7 lines down from the top. Yardu litzmeichen avalo le'ilan. We had this idea that the rain fell for the crops, but it did not fall for the trees. And we said that these are the situations we cry out for. Bishlam litzmeichen avalo le'ilan. I understand the case where it grew for the crops, or where the rain fell for the crops, but it did not fall for the trees. Why? Mishkachas la da'asanicha v'lo asya razia. Well, because the crops need a gentle rain, and the trees need a heavy rain. So it must be that there was a light rain that came, and there was not a heavy rain. So that means you have rain for crops and no rain for trees. Li'ilan v'lo asmicha, and vice versa. I know, understand there are sometimes that where rain falls for trees and not for crops. How do we know this? Da'asya razia v'lo asya nicha, because there are times when the rain falls heavy and it doesn't fall light, and the heavy rain helps the trees, and the light rain does, and the heavy rain helps the trees, but not the crops. In a situation where it does not fall for the trees, or it doesn't fall for the crops, that it falls for the crops and it falls for the trees, but lo, but it doesn't fall for the ditches and the pits and the caves, not for the water reservoirs. Mishkachasla, that's also a case that's found. How? Da'asya razia venicha. When it rains a strong rain, and when it rains a trickle rain, but mihu tuva lo asya, but nonetheless a lot of it didn't come. So if a lot of it didn't come, then it can't fill up the reservoirs. Doesn't matter how hard it rains. Ella haditani, rather this is the way told on the brisa, yardu leboros lesichin ulemaaros avalo leze uleze hechi mishkachasla. This is the question that we were getting to. It was taught on a brisa that you have a situation where it falls for the to fill up the ditches and the pits, the ditches, and the caves, but it doesn't fall to help the crops or the trees. How do you have a case like that ever? Says the Gemara, Da'asya b'shafichusa, that it was a torrential rainstorm. And since it was a torrential rainstorm, so that was great to fill up the water reservoirs, because they really came, everything was good, but it was not good for the trees or the crops. Tan Rabban, the Rabbi Son of Raisa, Masriyan al Ha'ilanos befros ha'pesach. So it says the Raisa that we cry out for rain on account of trees who haven't received enough water, and we cry out on Pesach time if the trees haven't received enough water. Ala boros v'sichin ma'aros, for the pits and the ditches and the caves and whatever, these receptacles. So there's a text change over here. So we cry out. So if these water reservoirs have not been filled, then we cry out on Sukkot for that. The al kulan. Oh no, I think there's another change over here. And if there is no water in them at all, meaning you don't have any drinking water right now, forget about it, you're not going to have later, but you don't have any drinking water right now, then we cry out immediately for that situation where there is no water, you need drinking water immediately. What does that mean? Immediately, you cry out immediately. Come on, like, speak English here. What does immediately mean? It means that you start fasting series of fasts of Monday, Thursday, and Monday. V'al kulan ein masrin alein ela ba'afarchaya shalahen, says the Gemara. And for all of these things, we don't cry out for them. Only in the affected country. Meaning, so for all these different types of rain situations, we only cry out in the affected country, but we don't cry out anywhere else. The askara, but when askara is some sort of horrible death with like a tightening of the throat. Bizman sheyesh b'misa, whenever there is death that's caused by it, so masriyan aleha, we cry out on behalf of this horrible calamity of askara that falls if there's death associated with it. Excuse me. Bizman she'in b'misa, but when there's no death associated with it, ein masriyan aleha, we don't cry out on it. And it seems like this is not just one city, it means all the cities. If they witness this, and we cry out if we have even just if we see just a little bit of locust, the govai locust running around. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, even if you see the chagav locust running around, we cry out. Tana, and then finally, I think this is going to be the last brisa of the day of the night. Tana Ravan Masrian al ha'ilanos. It was taught in a brisa that if there is, that we cry out for insufficient rain for the trees, Bishar Shnei Shavua, and we cry out for them specifically in 6 out of the 7 years of every 7 years. We don't cry out for the trees in the Shviyas year. Al HaBoros V'al HaSichin Al HaMaros, for the ditches and the pits and the caves. Afil B'Shviyas, we cry out even in the 7th year, because we don't care about the crops in the 7th year, but we do care about drinking water in the 7th year. So even in the 7th year, you cry out for these things. Raman Shimon Gamliel Omer, Av Al HaIlanos B'Shviyas, even in the trees we cry out for. Why? In the Shemitah year, but Mipnei Sheish Behen Parnasa Lani, and because still the trees will provide a parnasa for the poor people, and that was important as well, and therefore one is allowed to cry out, says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that we cry out for the trees in the 7th year, in the Shemitah year as well, because it's a food for the aniyim. Finally, this is the last brisa. Tani idach, another brisa. Masrin ali ilanos, we cry out for the trees. Bishar shnei shavua, for the first 6 years of a Shemitah cycle, but not in the 7th year. So we cry out if there's not enough rain for them. Alaboros, we cry out for pits and ditches and caves. Afilu b'shvius, even in the 7th year. Raman Shimon Gamliel Omer, af al ha'ilanos, we also cry for the trees, even in the 7th year. Masrin ala safichin b'shvius, mepnei sheyesh behen parnasa la'aniyim. And so says the Gemara, we cry out we cry out for a lack of rain that falls for the aftergrowth, for the crops that are coming in the 7th year, because of the fact that it's a parnasa for a neem, and we want to make sure that they get fed, so we therefore cry out if the grains and the crops don't come, even if we're not taking them, we want to make sure the aniyim can take them, so therefore we cry out for them just to make sure that people can come and to take them. Okay, so with that, I think we'll stop right over here. So where that leaves us is we're basically in the middle of the page over here. And again, so this last brisa was all dealing about different types of times that we cry out, even times that we're going to cry out for the case of others, right? We may not use it ourselves, but others might use it, and therefore we cry out for that. But with that, we'll stop, and God willing, next time we'll continue from Yud Tes Amud Beis. Everyone should have a great night. How do you define